Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Our victim today is 29-year-old Jason Cortez, who is visiting Los Angeles from Virginia to help a friend with a photography project. On September 10th, 2021, Jason and his friend went to the Ernest Debs Park to take some photos. As they were hiking, Jason was shot in the back and died. This was a cold, unforgiving act of random violence, and whoever did this needs to be brought to justice. This week, we're in my current hometown of Los Angeles, the City of Angels, La La Land, Tinseltown, the entertainment capital of the world, the City of Dreams. Los Angeles is the largest city in California and the second largest city in the United States after New York City. It's also one of the most ethnically and culturally diverse cities in the world, and it has a very diverse geography as well. There's about 75 miles of coastline along the Pacific Ocean. The Santa Monica Mountains are to the north. There are several valleys and also several rivers flowing through the city. Los Angeles has mild, wet winters and warm, dry summers, with abundant sunshine throughout the year and relatively low humidity. LA is known for its movie stars and film studios, with filmmaking being a central part of Los Angeles for well over a century. In the late 19th to early 20th century, Thomas Edison and other inventors developed motion picture cameras and projectors, and the first motion picture studios actually started emerging on the East Coast of the United States. In the 1910s and 20s, Hollywood became the epicenter of the American film industry because of the weather and the diverse scenery. There was more natural lighting and varied landscapes to choose from. This is when studios like Universal Pictures, Paramount Pictures, and Warner Brothers were established. Soon after that came the introduction of sound in films, and that revolutionized the industry, which led to the golden age of Hollywood, the 1930s to the 1950s. This is when studios controlled every aspect of filmmaking and iconic movie stars and legendary directors were created. From the 40s to the 60s, studio films began to decline and more independent filmmakers were moving to the forefront of the industry. The late 60s and 70s saw New Hollywood take over. Gritty, innovative films that reflected the social and political turmoil of the era began popping up. Which brings us to the modern era of amazing technological advances that no one ever imagined, like CGI, 3D filmmaking, streaming services, AI, social media, and ways for people to use media in completely different formats. Jason was a photographer and filmmaker, even making several short films, which is why he was in Los Angeles. He was lending his photography skills to help a friend with a project. The day Jason was shot, they went to Ernest E. Debs Park, which is commonly known as Debs Park. It's a large municipal park located in the northeastern part of LA. It's one of the city's largest parks, established in the 1910s with 282 acres in the Montecito Heights neighborhood. The park is named after Ernest E. Debs, who was a former president of the Los Angeles City Council. He was instrumental in the creation of numerous parks and green spaces throughout Los Angeles during the 20th century. It has rolling hills, walking trails, playgrounds, picnic areas, grassy meadows, and views of downtown, as well as the San Gabriel Mountains in the distance. It's a gorgeous spot. The areas surrounding the park can be fairly dangerous, with gang activity and other crimes. There have been shootings near and surrounding the park, but there had never been a shooting inside the park or on any of the trails before this, and never in the afternoon or in the manner Jason was shot. There are also no surveillance cameras on the 5-mile hiking loop where Jason was killed. Most of the hiking spots throughout LA are safe. One that I'd recommend is the hike up to the Hollywood sign, because you can't do that anywhere else in the world, and it's the perfect Instagram photo for your trip to LA. You can hike all the way up and stand right behind the letters, and they're much bigger when you're that close. You get a whole view of the city, and the best time to go is definitely sunset. There are a few different hikes you can take to get up there, but I would definitely take the shortest one, which is near the Wisdom Tree and Cahuenga Peak. If you Google it, you'll find the directions. The other popular Los Angeles hike is in Runyon Canyon. It's 160 acres right in the famous Hollywood Hills. You can see the Hollywood sign on one side, the Pacific Ocean on the other, and sometimes some recognizable stars along the way. It's a must-do hike for anyone visiting LA. But Jason Cortez didn't get the opportunity to visit either of those hiking spots because he was senselessly gunned down. Who was Jason Cortez before he tragically lost his life? Jason Cortez was born July 25, 1992, in Silver Spring, Maryland, to Reina Nativi de Cortez and Candelario Cortez. Shortly after, their family of three became four with the arrival of his younger brother, Jaime. He attended Potomac Senior High School in the small town of Dumfries, Virginia. And after graduating, he went to George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. While he was there, he met Karina Solorzano in 2014 during their sophomore year, and it was love at first sight. Jason was Karina's first boyfriend, and they dated all throughout college. Jason was also heavily involved in a lot of organizations in school, like the Hispanic Student Association, Aguila's mentoring program, and was a member of the Iota chapter of Delta Kappa Alpha, which is a cinematic professional fraternity where he held leadership positions. He graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Film and Video Studies in 2015. Jason was really close to his family. He called to check in daily and was always there to help out whenever he was needed. His friends and family said he was a bright light in a dim world. He was full of passion and he cared so much about other people. He was a photographer, guitarist, film buff, screenwriter, director, podcaster, and even a streamer on Twitch. He was a beautiful and creative soul full of dreams he planned to fulfill. His passion and energy as an artist, leader, and mentor helped inspire so many people. Jason always had a smile and made light of every situation he was dealt. He was adventurous and loved traveling. He was that guy that everyone wanted to be friends with, and everyone liked when he was around. Jason worked as a media editor for the Washington, D.C. Bureau of CGTN, which is an English-language TV news service based in Beijing, China. Jason was making his way in the world, and with the relationship going strong after 5 years of dating, Karina and Jason got engaged in January of 2019. And they had a great relationship. They loved to go out to eat, travel, watch movies, spend time with friends, and watch their favorite shows together. Because they were ready to be married and due to the uncertainty of the pandemic, the couple eloped on November 13th, 2020. Karina said it was the best day of both their lives. And soon after that, they got their dog, Stella. Jason named her Stella so he could yell out her name like Marlon Brando in Streetcar Named Desire. Before Stella, Jason was actually afraid of dogs. But he fell in love with the little puppy so much that he would tuck her in every night and give her a goodnight kiss. Now that Jason is gone, Karina does this each night alone. They bought their first house together right before Jason left for Los Angeles. And they bought it so Stella could have a yard, and because they were ready to begin their human family too. This was supposed to be their first Christmas and New Year's together as a married couple, but now Karina would have to celebrate alone for the first time in 7 years. It was shortly after his 29th birthday that Jason decided to go to LA for a few days to help out a longtime friend. Karina stayed home to take care of Stella and fix up their new house. Jason had no ties to LA other than this friend. He had no affiliations with any gangs or criminal activity and knew very few people. And there are almost no clues in Jason's murder. But we'll dive into what we know after these messages from our sponsors.
Are you looking for your next true crime podcast? Do you want to hear about relationships that turn to murder? Well, your search ends today. Introducing Love and Murder, Heartbreak to Homicide podcast, where I, host Kai, take you on a weekly journey through the dark side of love, where passion turns into obsession, families become enemies, and romance turns to murder. I dive deep into cases of love gone wrong. So why should you listen to Love and Murder? Because this is not just another true crime podcast. I tell you my feelings on every case, ranting about the stupidity of a murderer on behalf of the victims.
And tried to dissolve some of the remains and then boiled his mother's head in a pot. You son of a... Okay. Ungrateful.
So what are you waiting for? Join me every Sunday for full-length episodes, Tuesdays and Wednesdays for true crime rants on current crime news, and lamb favorite, Florida Man Fridays. Go ahead, visit murderandlove.com and hit that subscribe button now.
Love and Murder, available on all major podcast platforms. Not for true crimers under 18. Must be an apple juice drinking enthusiast, but not really. Side effects include enjoying another true crime podcast, becoming a lamb, learning logic and how to deal with your problems in a healthy manner, and not turn into murder. Waiting for the next episode of Love and Murder to drop every week, or visit our website at www.murderandlove.com.
And remember, all love and no murder. See you soon.
Jason said goodbye to his new wife and sweet puppy, boarding a flight from Virginia to Los Angeles on Thursday, September 9th, 2021. When he arrived, he checked in with his dad to let him know he got there safely, and his friend had picked him up at the airport. It was supposed to be a quick, fun trip working on a creative project that Jason was really interested in. The next morning, September 10th, he called Karina on FaceTime, showing her his friend's house and chatting about what needed to be done at their new house. It was like any other ordinary day, talking about life while enjoying his trip to Los Angeles. That afternoon, Jason and his friend had a last-minute idea to visit Ernest E. Dubbs Regional Park to take some photos. Jason had his cell phone and camera with him, but not much else. They walked around the park trails for a while, snapping photos, hanging out, chatting, and enjoying the sunny Los Angeles weather. They were ready to leave around 3:30 that afternoon and started walking down the trail back to the car. Jason's friend was a few steps in front of him when he heard a gunshot ring out. He turned around to see Jason fall to the ground, but didn't see where the bullet came from. He panicked, having a hard time figuring out what was going on at first, but he immediately called 911 and began CPR. Seconds later, another man who not only heard the gunshot, but briefly saw the shooter run away, also arrived at the scene. He stayed with the two men, desperately trying to help keep Jason alive. The Los Angeles Fire Department and paramedics got to the park minutes later and tried to resuscitate him, but couldn't. Jason was declared dead at the scene. When police arrived, they found a bullet wound in Jason's back and set up the crime scene. The witness who saw the shooter gave police his account of what happened. He'd crossed paths with Jason and his friend earlier on the trail, but didn't notice anything. When he heard the gunshot, he looked and saw the suspect poke out of the bushes holding what appeared to be a long rifle. He looked back down the trail and saw that Jason was hit and ran to help. He described the suspect as male, Hispanic, 5 feet 10 inches to 5 feet 11 inches tall, between 20 to 30 years old, and wearing a blue hooded sweatshirt. The shooter ran northbound, last seen headed near Griffin Avenue and Montecito Drive. He also said the shooter was approximately 75 to 100 feet behind Jason when he fired the round into his back. Jason had no way of knowing what was about to happen. There was only one shot taken, and unfortunately, it made contact. Police later determined it was a small caliber bullet, possibly a .22, and a bullet was later found in the area. The witness was able to work with a police sketch artist to come up with a composite of the gunman, and that portrait has circulated at length throughout the city with absolutely no leads. When Karina got the call back in Virginia that Jason was gone, she could only scream. His parents knew by her screams that it was Jason, and their whole world fell apart in that instant. After the shooting, police presence was heavy and they carefully canvassed the area. They questioned people living nearby in the homeless encampments and conducted a full sweep, but didn't recover any firearms. An article from the Eastsider LA, dated April 23, 2019, just a couple years before Jason was gunned down, discusses the crime and homelessness surrounding the park, writing, "The park is currently plagued by vandalism, intrusions of motorbikes, dangerous off-leash dogs, theft of native plants, pillaging of copper in restrooms and irrigation systems, expanding homeless encampments, brush fires, and other safety concerns." They go on to say, "The city has invested a great deal in Deb's Park, yet it turns a blind eye to the destruction that is taking place." The article was requesting rangers to start patrolling the park for safety, but that never happened. Perhaps if the city had put rangers in the park as requested, Jason might still be here today. By December, even with the sketch of the suspect, there were still no leads at all in the case, and no new witnesses that came forward. Police held a conference that month with LAPD describing the shooting as random and completely unprovoked. They said the only way they were going to solve this horrible murder would be with help from community members. During the press conference, Detective Abundis said, "He was at the wrong place at the wrong time. This is another example of a senseless killing. There's no motive behind this. I can't explain it." They also said that in a case like this, the use of a long rifle is unusual, especially because it was not at a close distance. They started calling the gunman a sniper because he hit Jason from such a distance. So it's likely he was experienced with firearms. And although they recovered the bullet, no shell casings were found, meaning the shooter knew enough to pick them up. Although gang violence is prevalent in that area and throughout Los Angeles for that matter, they also stated they did not think the shooting was gang-related or for a gang initiation. They announced they were offering a $50,000 reward for anyone that helps them solve the case and apprehend the suspect. They felt the reward was needed because the suspect could further terrorize the city, presenting a continuing and immediate menace to all the people of Los Angeles. In other words, they were worried he'd strike again. Jason's family attended the press conference, and listening to them talk about how much they loved and missed him absolutely broke my heart. His father spoke softly with an unbelievable amount of emotion. He was sad, grieving, and at times his voice broke as he struggled to get the words out and hold back tears. He begged the community to find Jason's killer to help them get justice for their son. He told the crowd that Jason was hardworking and liked to be behind the camera, and that's why he was visiting LA, that he was doing what he loved when he was senselessly gunned down. His mother spoke in Spanish, crying as she said, "As a mother, a piece of my heart died with my son Jason." They need peace for their family. They never thought they'd be in a situation like this. His wife Karina also spoke. She told listeners they weren't able to celebrate their one-year wedding anniversary. She said she didn't want to celebrate their first Christmas and New Year's alone. She begged everyone to look at the sketch, and if it looked like anyone they knew, to reach out, even if it was their brother, son, husband, or friend. Because Jason was gone, and that's what he was to them, and they needed to do the right thing. She talked about the website they created to celebrate his life, his passions, and his legacy at celebratejasoncortez.com. Investigator on the case, Detective Abundis, asked for anyone with information to call the police department or even report their tips anonymously because any information would help. Police were hoping, through this press conference and the $50,000 reward, that somebody would step up because they had no leads to go on after 3 months of investigations. The case was already cold. Watching the press conference, I wondered what kind of person the killer was. I wondered if he was also watching the press conference, if he was reading the news articles about Jason, learning how loved Jason was. How much had the killer planned this out, and was he going to do it again? He's gotten away with it for the last 3 years. There is nothing at all to stop him from doing it again. Or maybe he has done it again. There are shootings in Los Angeles almost every day. How do we know this killer isn't some part of other unsolved murders in the city? From what we know, it looks like he acted alone. If he doesn't tell anyone what he did, and no one recognizes him from the sketch, I don't see how he'll ever be caught. A random, senseless murder with no motive is the hardest to solve. But we have a sketch, so why hasn't anyone come forward? Maybe people who could recognize him haven't seen the sketch and aren't watching the news. This case didn't get nearly as much news as other random murders. Jason was a Latino man from another state, and his parents' first language is Spanish. So his story hasn't stayed in the news the way that others do. Like a young blonde woman would, someone like Natalie Holloway. Maybe the suspect was traveling through LA and doesn't have any friends or family here, so there's no one to identify him. It didn't make national news. Most unsolved cases in Los Angeles don't. Or that's all the news they'd be talking about because there are a lot of murders here. I'll post the shooter's sketch on my Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod, and I hope that enough people from around the world can see it. I hope someone recognizes him and comes forward. I hope you all just take a look at the sketch, screenshot it, keep an eye out. You really never know. Maybe the witness didn't get a good enough look at the shooter, and he's not recognizable from that sketch. Maybe he had a birthmark that was missed, or the nose is different, or the eyes are further apart, or he's much taller or shorter or different ethnicity. The witness only saw his upper body for mere seconds, and I'm sure it was extremely traumatic when Jason died, so maybe he didn't remember what he looked like with enough accuracy. It's entirely possible. From the little I know about this crime, I absolutely think the killer will strike again, if he hasn't already. I think he could easily be a serial killer or become a serial killer. What's to stop him from doing this again? He wasn't caught and police have no leads. But somebody somewhere knows him. Somebody that's close to him has a gut feeling that it could be him, or he could have even told someone. And it's up to that person to come forward before more innocent lives are lost. Approximately 50 million tourists visit Los Angeles each year. The majority are domestic travelers, with China coming in as the largest international visitor. There are also about 270 cruise ships docking in Los Angeles each year, and that's a lot of people. So, is Los Angeles safe for travelers to visit? According to the 2021 Safe Cities Index, it's the 18th safest city among 60 cities worldwide. But I also read that Los Angeles takes pride in their public transportation, that it's well-maintained, clean, and safe. Because I live in Los Angeles, I know that is absolutely not true. If you're visiting Los Angeles, I would advise renting a car or using rideshare like Uber or Lyft. If you have no choice and must take public transportation, the buses might be a little safer than the trains. There is an extremely high population of unhoused people in Los Angeles. Many have mental health issues or are drug addicts, and they frequent public transportation. You will see people openly doing drugs on public transportation, along with occasional assaults and other violent crimes. On average, train riders experience 7 violent crimes per 200,000 passengers, and bus riders experience about 1 per 200,000 passengers. To put it simply, I've taken plenty of rickety, strange buses and trains throughout the world, but would never take public transportation in Los Angeles. Other than public transportation, violent crime statistics are high, just like any other major city in the United States. In 2021, the number of shooting victims in LA was the highest it had been since 2008. The chance of being a victim of a violent crime was 1 in 119. And the number of victims of property crime was 1 in 36. And there was a 9.1% increase in homicides that year. The thing about crime in LA is that it's not limited to any specific parts of town. There are armed robberies at the fanciest restaurants in Beverly Hills in broad daylight. People in nice areas have been shot, getting their dogs stolen while out on a walk. Shootings in or outside of nightclubs and bars are not uncommon. And random violent crimes are on the rise due to the homeless crisis in Los Angeles. When I'm home, I make sure my doors are locked and my alarm system is on because home invasions and burglaries are also on the rise. Don't get me wrong, Los Angeles is an amazing city. I live here and I love it. I wouldn't move for the world. But it is also very dangerous. Is it safe for tourists? Overall, yes. More than likely, you'll be just fine visiting LA. But there are some popular tourist areas that I think are pretty dangerous. The Hollywood Walk of Fame is not a safe area. There are people doing drugs out in the open and overdosing in front of families with children. Tourists get robbed on the street day or night. And when violent crime occurs, it is often random and without warning. Venice Beach is definitely not safe after dark and even pretty sketchy during the day. There are problems with drugs, gangs, and unhoused people, resulting in a lot of petty crime and some violent crime. And wherever you go, keep an eye on your drinks, don't walk alone at night, don't wear expensive jewelry or carry large amounts of cash. Don't let your guard down just because you're in an expensive part of the city. Crime happens everywhere in Los Angeles. Places that rely heavily on tourism normally have less violent crime towards tourists because it's bad for business. That's not the case in LA. Here, violent crime does not care who you are. Drugs are very easy to get in Los Angeles, but don't do it. There is a fentanyl crisis in the city, and there's a chance that whatever you buy will have fentanyl in it. Marijuana is perfectly legal, so if that's your thing, you can walk into any dispensary and pick up whatever you want. If you're visiting LA, make sure you have a safe place to stay. Use the buddy system when you're traveling with friends, keep your guard up, and stay especially vigilant at night. And as always, inform someone about your plans before going anywhere. Tell someone reliable where you're going and what you'll be doing and when to expect you back. And my number one tip to staying alive on vacation is to pay attention to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, it isn't. Jason Cortez was shot in the back on September 10th, 2021 at 3:30 in the afternoon while hiking at Ernest E. Debs Park in Los Angeles. His murderer has never been found, but there is a sketch from a witness. He is described as male, Hispanic, 5 feet 10 inches to 5 feet 11 inches tall, and 20 to 30 years old. He was wearing a blue hooded sweatshirt. The LAPD has issued a $50,000 reward for any information related to Jason's case. That's a life-changing amount of money. If you know anything at all, please contact Detective Abundis at 213-486-8700 or to submit anonymous tips, call 800-222-TIPS, that's 800-222-8477, or visit lacrimestoppers.org. Someone out there does have information and knows who killed Jason. The sketch might look like your son, brother, boyfriend. Call the police. Do the right thing. Jason's family deserves justice. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.